What's up, everybody? We have 10 minutes here with Ruben on the other side of the table. Mark's done talking via text with Papa Murphy's over there, so I think we can get going. We want to talk about a topic called bipod bounce, which is something that I think the phrase has come up in a podcast or two prior to this, but let's address it specifically. What is it? How can you perhaps mitigate it? What effect does it have on your shooting? And Ruben, you're here to talk with us about that today. Now, right off the bat, in front of us, we have two different rifles with two different kinds of bipods. One is the classic Harris style. One is the little bit more high-end, a little bit fancier Atlas-style bipod. Of course, there are many others, too, but that's what we have in front of us. You suggested, you challenged us at the beginning, Rube, before we started. Mm-hmm. You said, what do we actually think?
Yeah, why don't you tell me what you think it is?
Mark?
So, what I would think bipod bounce is you would experience, I guess, a shift in your point of impact if you were shooting your rifle and the bipod was setting on a very, like, rigid surface like concrete, where it's actually, there's no give to it, and essentially the rifle will bounce.
Yeah, the only time I remember ever, I guess, witnessing it, and I didn't know what was happening, but I know that people were saying, oh yeah, I'm getting bipod bounce, was when we were at one of the old Vortex Extremes, and we shot off those concrete pads,
mm-hmm.
and people with bipods were actually scooching their bipods up off the pad onto the dirt, and I guess it kind of makes sense when you think about it, because you have this jarring, you know, thing that happens when the gun goes off, lots of vibrations, and the bipod, if it's rattling essentially against this hard surface, it can kind of come up a little bit. But in terms of the thing that I've always questioned about bipod bounce is, as we've spoken about this with Ian before, I was just talking about the travel of your bullet down the barrel, and that happens so quickly. I find it almost hard to believe at times that the reaction that happens oftentimes after the bullet is actually left, you know, but it just, like, really a lot of the recoil that you feel starting to happen, I can't imagine that it happens soon enough, or that the bipod starts bouncing soon enough that it would be affecting your POI, but it clearly does somehow. I don't know, Rube, you go into it.
I think that it has a lot to do with kind of your shooting form and how you get behind the gun, whether you're seated or prone. But yeah, there's a lot of different opinions, I think, about what shooting with a bipod can do to both your ability to follow through on your shot and watching kind of your target,
mm-hmm.
And also point of impact. Now, I haven't experienced a whole lot of change in zeroing a rifle on, like, a Caldwell sled or a Caldwell shooting pad on the front, and then putting a bipod on and changing. Now, there can be a small amount. I think it changes the harmonics of your gun. You're mounting something different to the gun. You're adding weight in, mm-hmm. out towards this end of the gun. But I think primarily what I kind of want to talk about is really people's ability to kind of follow through on your shot. And so that, to me, is the biggest issue when you mount a bipod to a gun, especially with the fact that most of the time we're going to mount it out here on the fore end or on the handguard. And it really, again, falls kind of back on your shooting form and how you're properly using a bipod. Now, if you Google bipod bounce and you go to long range shooting forums, you'll see a lot of times people will say, well, I mounted a Harris bipod to my rifle, and now when I shoot, it jumps up, right? And I can't see my impact, or I can't watch trace, or I lose my field of view of the target, or I lose the target in my field of view. I think that definitely can happen, but typically what's happening there is you've got somebody who's shooting on a, like you said before, shooting on a concrete platform or shooting on a hard surface, and they're not getting that gun really good into the pocket of their shoulder. They're not getting lined up behind the gun. It's almost kind of like you guys talked with Nick on some PRS stuff, that kind of concept of, like, free recoil.
I was just about to bring that up.
Yeah, free-reezy, yeah.
Free-reezy. So that's a little bit more a different type of shooting support. You're shooting off of a barricade or something, and you're supporting the gun back here as opposed to out here. But, yes, I think one of the things that you want to be really cognizant of when you're shooting is, if you're shooting with a bipod, we kind of want to preload or load the bipod.
Yeah, that's another phrase you hear a lot.
Yep. And so what does that mean? Well, if we look at this Atlas bipod here, what makes it stable? We got these legs.
Oh, this is the Harris, sorry.
Right? Sorry, yeah, the Harris. But we've got these legs, and they kind of pivot on there, and you can store them up or down, and that's kind of kept in place by a spring. And then they also have these spring-loaded legs, which unlock
can extend.
It. Yep, so you got a spring in there. And so the whole system is kind of very rigid, I guess you would say.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times when people are shooting a bipod like that, and let's just say you go out and you get out to where you're shooting and you set the gun on the hood of your truck, that gun is like going to jump up and you're going to lose everything because you're just not, you're not stable. You're not creating that good shooting form behind the gun. But if we're going to preload that or load the bipod a little bit, what we're kind of talking about is getting up here and getting this in a place where we can kind of wedge that, right?
So you're talking about, you know, we're looking at the bottom of the bipod, the two legs that stick out. You're talking about preloading it by getting those legs sort of wedged down into the surface that you're on, which is harder on a hard surface.
Yes,
it's easier to do on something soft or dirt, you know,
which
something like that.
Again, why a lot of those guys at the Vortex Extreme are kind of getting that bipod off the front of the concrete platform.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so if you don't have something you can push those legs up against a little bit, it's going to be pretty tricky.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever unrolled a shooting mat? And you find that at the very end, there's kind of this strip of fabric.
Yeah, it looks like molly webbing almost.
Yeah, it's not sewn down all the way. That strip is there so you can push your bipod legs up into it.
And get them kind of caught in it. Yeah,
so you're kind of, I mean, you're almost like leaning into the gun
a little bit.
Yeah, you don't want to have your, if you have such a thing, you don't want to have your legs on the back, on the front end of those hoops, because then when the gun recoils, it's probably going to pull the legs forward.
Yep, and it'll actually collapse a Harris.
On a Harris, it'll collapse it, yeah,
because they go something forward. Something like an Atlas with locking legs, or, you know, there's a bunch of different bipods on the market now that kind of utilize a locking leg position. You don't have to worry about it collapsing as much. And the one thing I wanted to point out about both bipods is that with the Harris, if you're actually going to preload it, you're not going to get a lot of flex in this. You're actually going to start to
flex your stock.
You could
probably
flex your handguard, your forend a little bit.
Okay.
Not on a high quality stock like something like Jim's running, that's not really that big of an issue. But it's really important to not put too much pressure. So kind of the one of the things I like to do is get behind the gun, and when I get down behind it, I kind of get it set, I look at the target, and then I just pull the gun back up a little bit and then just kind of slouch into it.
Okay,
and once I've got those feet hooked into whatever it is I'm shooting, I'm not actively pushing forward. Right?
Your feet aren't digging into the dirt behind you and pushing.
Yeah, you're, I don't want to be all flexed.
I
want to be relaxed, like, mm-hmm, I should be in kind of a good, solid shooting position. So when you're thinking about loading the bipod, how much pressure? Well, it should never be to the point where you're laying prone and you have to push the gun forward.
Okay, yeah.
So get set, get on the ground or get in your position, and then pull the gun back in and then just slouch into it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on an Atlas, and hopefully you can see this, but on an Atlas, this has a wheel here that's adjusting the tension of the bipod mechanism.
On the bottom, between the
legs,
there's
like a ball and socket in here, right? And you can see that this actually moves forward and back.
Yeah, it's, mm-hmm, got some give to it.
Yep. So it's really nice if you're shooting an Atlas. Once, you know, how much do I preload the bipod? Well, you kind of just push it until you cam that into place.
Okay.
And there's no more forward movement left. But in regards to shooting with a bipod versus shooting off of, you know, bags or something like that, I guess the bipod bounce thing where people say, like, they see a point of impact shift, I actually think that's, if it has validity, it's more valid with the AR platform, simply because you're not in an AR platform, you've got a much higher lock time. And so your trigger is, once you break the trigger and the sear disengages, that hammer is actually pivoting on a single pin, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that takes anywhere from, and again, this number is going to be hard to comprehend, anywhere from 6 to 9 milliseconds.
Yeah.
Now, a bolt gun, like your Weatherby, like a Remington 700, Ruger American, that hammer assembly is, that firing pin is preloaded with a spring, and when you press the trigger, you're actually just letting the hammer fall forward a very short distance, whereas a hammer on an AR has to kind of make that full pivoting travel.
Yeah.
So a lock time on a bolt gun is going to be like 1 millisecond to 2 milliseconds.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess, too, what I would think about as well is, you know, I think a lot of people, they see a bipod and they think of a bipod almost as like a sandbag replacement, right? So it just holds your gun there and all you have to do is kind of sit behind it and then just pull the trigger. But that preload is important. And I think, too, if you're not preloading your bipod somehow, of course, the action of pressing a trigger, pulling a trigger, whatever you're going to say, and I know no matter how good of a trigger press you have, it is an action that's going back towards you, which can influence where your barrel is pointed. I actually just think it's more of a steady position that's less likely to be affected by your trigger press if you have some pressure forward on the bipod, you know, because if it's just sitting there, your bipod kind of becomes a pivot point with all this weight behind it, which makes it really easy to move around. But as soon as you put some pressure on it, it's not as easy to move around.
And I think there's different, you know, different strokes for different folks, however you want to say it. A guy like Ian shooting F-class, they're using, you know, a front rest and in some cases a bipod that's actually mounted to the gun. In some cases they're using bags, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest thing for them is consistency.
Yeah. Or his bipods even have skis on the bottom of
Yeah.
Do we ever ask him how do they preload those? The gun is so darn heavy.
They're typically not worried as much about that because they're actually looking for that rifle to recoil the same consistency every time.
Right.
So that's a little different. I think if you look at a bipod, most bipods are folding. It's almost like you're bringing your shooting bench to the range with you, right? It's a different purpose than shooting off of bags is.
Yeah.
Because if you're actually looking to get the most uninhibited, uncluttered like results from shooting, then you should take whatever like accessories that are adding different harmonics to the gun. You should get rid of it and just shoot off of bags. But
agreed.
I think there's a lot of applications. For example, if you were going and shooting the Vortex Extreme, you're not going to bring a front bag and a front rest and all this stuff with you.
You need
to have it all on the gun.
When you raise up your bipod so that it's at a higher height, do you ever put less preload on it? Because I'm picturing a breaker bar, right?
Yeah,
like
it's different lever arm,
like a longer lever arm can put more leverage on your fore end or something like that. Do you have to be conscious of that, I'm assuming?
Yeah, I think you would. I mean, without question, you're creating a longer lever arm, and so you're putting more torque on your fore end. Now, if we were talking about like an AR like yours, Mark, of course, most ARs are coming with what's called a free-floated handguard, so it shouldn't have as much impact on your point of impact because it's mounted back here to the receiver. But irregardless of that, it's still changing the forces that are put on your gun. So there's even companies out there that will sell their rifles that have a clamp, you know, like a zero MOA riser that clamps the upper to the lower because they feel so strongly about forces exerted on the handguard changing POI.
Yeah.
I also think it's...
eventually that force comes back to your barrel nut.
It does. And I also think I think it is a matter of application, right? It's not... Everything boils down to what are you using it for and what kind of accuracy, you know, what's your level of accuracy that you're looking to get. I can tell you that throwing a backpack on and hiking 2 miles into South Dakota on a coyote hunt, planning on making most of my shots with an AR somewhere out to 500 yards, I'm not super, super concerned about a little bit of deviation. However, shooting a match or doing low development where you're really trying to figure out what little tweaks can affect your accuracy, yeah, absolutely be careful about that.
Mm-hmm. I'll say one thing, too, I like doing when out in the wild is either just shooting off of a backpack or setting up my bipod on a backpack. For whatever reason, I just like the... it's a little bit more consistent surface because you never know if you're going to set up your bipod and it's on a rock or if it's on soft dirt or if it's on slippery grass. But if you set it up on your backpack, it's kind of the same thing every time.
Well, if I'm given the opportunity and I'm shooting and time is not of the essence and I've got a big rock that I can kind of wedge myself up against and put my backpack on top of it and rest my gun on a nice soft surface or shoot off of that rock with a bipod, I'm going to shoot on a soft surface every time.
Yeah.
Now, the main reason why I'm doing that is simply the gun isn't moving around as much because I've got the ability to kind of keep it more compressed onto that rest versus...
Kind of cradles it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And versus a bipod, which you might get some bounce.
I was actually shooting at an animal or setting up to shoot an animal one time. I think it was like, I don't know, 300 yards away or something like that. And I had a bipod. I think it was a Harris. And... I was like, oh, I'm going to shoot off my bipod, you know, I'll be super steady. And I was fiddling with it, and I actually had it set on my backpack, and then ultimately realized that, like, it actually just worked better to just shoot off my backpack. So I folded the legs up and shot it.
Yes. And you're going to have cases like that, definitely. I think, you know, looking back to it, like kind of what we were talking about earlier with the different bipod brands and styles, there's, you can get different feet for bipods too. So like I have a set of spiked feet for my Atlas.
Yeah.
And I can take these rubber feet off and put spiked feet on their carbide tips. And so if I'm shooting in on a smooth shooting table, or I'm shooting a match and they have a vehicle prop, it's a vehicle that's been shot up a bunch.
Okay.
I'll take those feet and just jam it right down in.
Or,
don't worry, they're not on nice cars, Jim.
You don't get to shoot off my hood
There's
anymore,
no
Ruben.
Such thing as a bad car.
But yeah, even shooting on concrete, those carbide tipped feet will actually dig in and give you the ability to preload a little bit.
Nice.
So was there anything to my original, I guess, perception of what when people talk about bipod bounce? Or is that
if you have experiences, you can definitely write in with those. Now, I will say I've never experienced a notable change in my point of impact from when I mounted a bipod versus taking it off, other than some older rifles that before free floating was really, really common.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the first rifles that my dad got for me to shoot when I was a kid was a Ruger M77 Mark II. It was a 223, and I shot thousands of rounds on the farm, just driving around on the four-wheelers, shooting gophers and, you know, woodchucks and stuff. And that rifle, the barrel is very tight in that barrel channel.
Mm-hmm.
There is no free-floating whatsoever. That channel is actually cut specifically in the stock for the barrel to sit in.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get a dollar bill, a piece of paper, nothing in there. And, yeah, that definitely, if you're running something that is not a free-floated barrel and you mount a bipod to it, it can change things. But to that point, you can also change it by resting it on something.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be one of those things where, yes, you might get a better group just by resting on sandbags than you do with a bipod, but technically any time you put contact on that handguard or forend or the barrel for that matter.
Sure.
You know, one of the things we see all the time at matches is people shooting off of barricades and they just stick the barrel through and rest it on, and all of a sudden they're hitting 2 feet high at 200 yards. Yeah, that can definitely happen. I've never noticed it where on a, we'll call it a modern rifle, that's made by a reputable manufacturer with good manufacturing tolerances. I've never seen where threading a Harris on, all of a sudden it's used to be a half MOA gun and now it's a one MOA gun. I've also never seen it where I was shooting dead center, great groups, and now I'm any more than, we'll call it a half an inch or so shifted. But I think that also can have to do with your form in shooting behind a gun and having different follow through. Because that means everything.
Quit putting things back on the shooter. It's the equipment.
Sorry, it's what I do.
Well, there's our old classic 19-minute, 10-minute talk. We'll cut it at that. We definitely, yeah.
I thought that was 8 minutes, and I was like, wow, that went really slow.
No, that's all right. But, okay, thanks, everybody, for listening. Let us know what you think about bipod bounce. We'll catch you guys next time. Bye.
Peace.
Bye.